France of the documentation. First is local government academies of 2000 innovation packages payable to municipal managers and managers directly accountable to municipal managers. And the second part of the agenda is really the update on the establishment of councils following the first, second, third August 2016 local government elections. So we'll have to look at these, I guess guided by the presentations for the department. But before we do that, there's some formalities that we have to go through, one of which is the whole question of apologies. Then I may ask if members are happy with the agenda. Happy with the agenda? Moved and seconded. So we'll then proceed and go straight to the question of apologies. Sure. On apologies.
These apologies from Kudisa Kudisa and Mr. Schlegelwa.
There's also an apology from the minister and deputy minister. I guess we should just record that. Although really preferably, we should always have at least one person, either the minister or the deputy. But I guess we have to proceed with the meeting. Record the search, Sharon, and convey the information to the person of the committee so that we may interact with the search persons and our members. Okay. Let's start then with an update on the establishment of councils. I don't know if there's that would be okay. That's just update. We want us to go straight to the local government's upper limits.
Thank you, Sir President. We are ready with February.
Yeah. Let's start with the establishment.
With the establishment. Perhaps with the issue of the establishment, thank you, Chairperson, for giving us this opportunity. Earlier on, I felt that it was cold this time because it was like we are in an adversarial environment, looking at the honorable members in that specific slide. The update on the establishment of councils, we do have a presentation. I don't know whether the Secretary might have put it on the. I think they've not put it on the on the board. We also have the list of all ministers in the country, 257 of them. Those that have established themselves during the 14 days, and some of those that have not yet established themselves. So it is a work in progress kind of presentation. Now the presentation itself will look at a little bit of the background, and then we look at the consolidated database of those municipalities. We won't have much of the recommendations, but just for the committee to note the progress, where there is progress, and some of the challenges, where there are challenges. Now, in terms of the backgrounds, what we have done as the department, we established what we termed a war room just before the election, which was looking at all the issues that were coming out of the National Joint Operations Committee. And in that war room, we had representatives from NAG, from EFCOM, from Human Settlement, and ourselves. In situations where there were protests, we wanted to understand what is the protest about so that we could intervene. Now, we then agreed with the minister that that particular committee should continue to exist to monitor the establishment of municipalities, what is provided for in the legislation of the 14 days, especially the locals. Now, what we are doing is we are placing all the database from all the provinces, and we are looking at whether the municipalities are holding their first council meetings with the less those office bearers. We're looking at also the 27 municipalities that are hung, and also looking at the supporting the process of electing appointed councillors to district councils, which is currently underway. You might be aware that there will be the council election program, and in the last 2 weeks we have been busy with the training of the trainers, so that immediately when the districts are fully established, we start with the induction program. Now, we are receiving this database from all the provinces, which is indicating which councils have now elected their office bearers, and also indicating what type of a municipality it is in those particular municipalities, whether it conforms with the second 12 notices that have been issued by the MECs. We are also putting a breakdown in terms of the parties that are in those particular municipalities. Slide 2, Chair, is just in one sentence just to indicate that we have had a reduction in the number of municipalities to 257. If you remember that we looked at the redetermination of the boundaries of around 21 of the municipalities. Now, in housing, we have 11 municipalities. All of them are in the mayoral executive type. The metro is having 708 councillors, and the districts 93 councillors, and the locals 346 councillors. We have 4 councillors that are hung in Gauteng, City of Joburg, Tshwane, Ekurhuleni, and Mokgale City. I'm just going to go to that summary because the detail is more on the spreadsheet document. In KZN, we have 7 hung councillors. We have 54 municipalities, 2 the plenary type, and then we have the
can just be slow on the establishment. Welcome. If we can just be a bit slow, not too slow, but on the overall numbers. I think that's a bit crowding, not too much.
Counting has 11 municipalities, and all those municipalities are using the mayoral executive tax of a condom. And now the number of councillors, the total number of councillors in Gauteng is 1,147, with metro serving 708, districts 93, and the local 346. And we have 4 hung councillors, but all of them have established. In KwaZulu-Natal, we have 54 municipalities, the number of councillors in KZN is 2,043. We have 219 of those from the metro, and 333 from the district, and 1,491 from the locals. We have got 7 hand councillors, which is the Endumeni, Nutu, Escort, Edumbe, Abasulusi, Joseni, and Tubakuba. The information that I was discussing is that Joseni is still having some challenges. We just hope that they could not necessarily meet the 14 days that is created, and the province indicated that they are dealing with the matter. In Mpumalanga, we have 20 municipalities, the mayoral executive side. There are 874 councillors. 171 of those are in the district and 703 in the local. In Mpumalanga, we don't have a municipality that is around. Now, Free State, we have 23 municipalities, 15 are using mayoral executive type, 4 plenary, and 4 collective executive. The number of councillors in Free State is 727, with 100 in the metro, 126 in the district, and 501 in the local. We have got one hand councillor there, which is Mzee Mahulu. In Northwest, we have as yet received the breakdown in
terms of... And again, just a bit,
Bigger?
The municipalities, the province, right?
In Northwest.
Oh, Northwest.
Yeah, Northwest, we don't have the full information around the number of councillors and the types of municipalities that would have been established. We only know that there are 22 municipalities and one hung council, which is Rustenburg. We also know that Rustenburg has established. It's only that the province has not yet given us all the information around all the municipalities in the province. In Northern Cape, the 31 municipalities, 5 on the mayoral executive type, 8 in the plenary, and 6 on the collective executive type. We have not been given the information around the number of councillors in all those municipalities, but we know that there are 3 hung councillors there, Ubuntu, Hadelopilwe, and Namakoi. We also know that there was one councillor who was killed, which led to one of the municipalities or some of the councillors refusing to go to the meeting that was called by the municipal manager. We are following up on that to check whether that municipality would finally be constituted, because it will have an effect on the district. Limpopo as well, we have not yet received the information, but we have 27 municipalities, and we know that there are 2 hand councillors, the Sarazimbi and the 2 municipalities that merged, Murumule and Limpopo. Western Cape, we have 30 municipalities, all of them in the mayoral executive type. The number of councillors in the Western Cape is 793. With 231 being in the metro, 110 in the district, and 452 in the locals. We have 8 hand councillors in the Western Cape, Wittenberg, Hasemo, Pitou, Nashman, Prince Albert, Lionsbeck, Yukokwas, and Kanabe. The Eastern Cape, we have 39 municipalities. We have one hand council that has been established, the Nelson Mandela Bay Metro. We have not received the information of the rest of the municipalities in terms of number of councillors and the type of municipalities established in terms of your section first notices. We therefore recommend that the portfolio commission take note of the database that we are currently developing in the department, and that as and when we finalize that particular database, we will be able to either come to the committee and indicate a full picture even immediately after the establishment of all the district municipalities. And when there will be challenges, we'll also be able to indicate those particular challenges. So we'll be updating the information as and when the information comes. The colleagues are busy as we speak collating that information. Some of the information that has been might have changed by now. But this is as far as we could go, Chairman. Thank you.
Okay. I thought that we should start this way, so we have a sense of what information is now available on the establishment of our political councils. But I guess what we also just say up front that the data is not complete. It's in the process of being collected and so on, and in due course, all of this information made available. But are there questions and comments? We'll note Member Milliam. Is there another person to speak? Member Luleke. Yeah. Yes, come. Any other person on speech? Alright, in that order. Madam.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I have a concern with the information that is given here, because for a starter, the department should know exactly how many councillors there are in every single municipality. I'll give you an example. I can tell you off the top of my head that in the Eastern Cape, there are 220 metro councillors. There are 120 in North Mandela Bay and 100 in
Kapa.
I come from there, but it's a formula that is determined by the minister and is ratified by the MEP. And that information is readily available, exactly how many councillors there are in every single municipality. In fact, it's gazetted as part of the IT outcomes. So I'm confused as to why there is a lack of information about the number of councillors. I can understand that Section 12 notes that there may be amendments to the system of municipality, but the number of councillors there definitely should, that information should be available. So then, I just have a question, and I'd like a follow-up if I may after I get a response, about how many municipalities have not yet established. By my reading, it's two, and that is Lodzini and Umkhonyoni District Municipality, with possibly Kakhelokele and the district that that's associated with as well, but we don't know the answer to that. But I know for a fact that Lodzini has not yet established. So is that number correct? And what steps is the department taking to ensure that that is established? Also, what provision is made for in a situation where the municipality does not establish? I've read through the Structure Act several times, and I can't find how we proceed after the 14-day period has elapsed. What is the next step? Do we place them under administration? What do we do? So I'd like to follow up on that one, if I may. My third question is regarding the various local municipalities. What is the situation with regarding the grading of those municipalities? Because that has implications on salaries of councillors, it has implications on salaries of staff. Have they all been graded? Has that process been completed? What is the current situation? And then my fourth question relates to, in particular, the municipalities of Thaba Zimbi and Molemole Mokgophong. I am aware that Thaba Zimbi, for example, faced attachment orders on Thursday or Friday last week, where all of their computer equipment was attached by sheriff of the court to be auctioned off because the previous council had not paid its bills. What is the department doing to assist municipalities that are in that state? So those are the four questions I'd like to start, and obviously, as I said, a follow-up on this is
needed. Yeah, we'll do all the questions and we'll come back to that.
Thank you, Chairperson, and I would like to thank the presentation. Some of my questions have been covered by Honorable Mellem, because my worry was about the incomplete information that we are given. I just wanted to know who's responsible for giving the department the complete information. Is it the MEC? Is it the MMs from those local municipalities or district municipalities? So I just hope that is going to be the last time we get an incomplete information. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Acting Chair. I think that echoing is very, very pertinent. But also going forward, it should be very for the last time. And also in looking towards the service delivery, if maybe the information is required at a particular time and it's not there on that particular time, it's going to affect the service delivery moving forward. So we really urge that the department must act on those people who are not doing the work that they are supposed to be doing. When the information is required at a particular time, the deadlines must be respected. Thank
my chair, I was suggesting that to look forward on this matter, let's really get this information and engage this, because there's a lot of things we need to engage on it. But since now it's not complete, let's find another time, Chair, to engage with it. And meanwhile, maybe the information about those municipalities that have not really established themselves, who got the problems, we will find time by then to know what exactly is going to be done with those municipalities. Because I'm told some of them they are doing such things deliberately so. And what is the act to say in those areas where councillors just decided not to go to the chamber so that they can form a quorum and things are just being discussed purposely? I don't know how the department is dealing with such issues.
Response.
Thank you, Chair. I think the Honourable Miller is right in terms of the number of we should be having that information, because that information is a predetermined information. So I don't want to belabor the point. The number of municipalities that have not yet established, like I said, what I thought was that Zonzini has a problem, and I got information about one in a modern case. I can't remember the name. And then there was a little bit of some problems around one in Mpumalanga. But I don't have the exact number. I will be able to come back to the members with the actual number. Now, with regard to the completeness of information, from where I'm sitting, yes, we could have complete information that would be able to indicate to us in terms of the lockup and the networks, because they are given 14 days from the day that the election was pronounced, or when the gazette was made on the 10th of August. So we were expecting that all the lockups and the metros should have established by the 24th. But with regard to the totality of all the municipalities, including the district, we are still within that particular time frame. It would have been better if perhaps this invite came after, so that at least we would have collated all the information including the district, and then we would be able to give the totality of the information and some of the challenges that imagine in the instances where these caucus are not established because they weren't able to send any representative to the district. Now, there is a very critical question that Honorable Miller is raising here. What happens if the municipality doesn't establish? If you look at the structures act, it doesn't really provide any in particular kind. These are the questions that we have grappled with, and we have advised the provinces that in the event that a municipality does not arrange like some instances where the councils are deliberately sitting out, there needs to be the MEC must issue a sort of a directive to direct that they should sit within a particular time frame. And if they do not sit in that particular time frame, then we will have to invoke Section 139. The directive is part and parcel of that Section 139, but we were just saying we need to be very systematic in the manner in which we communicate with these municipalities, because it might, if you just invoke 139 without following due process, they might litigate the matter in a different way. Now, the issue of Sabazimbi, I'm not really aware of this matter around the attachment. From where we are sitting, we don't have any particular guide, because I take that as the responsibility of the accounting officer to pay. It's not the responsibility of council. Now, if the municipal manager does not pay what is due to be paid, he has to be held accountable by the council. That is a normal procedure that should happen in a municipality. The last question relating to the process of grading those that are municipalities that have merged and those that are new, I think we were going to touch on it when we deal with the second part of the presentation, but I think you can attempt to answer it now. Honorable Maluleke, you were asking in terms of who is responsible to give this information. We have written to provinces, not in respect of the number of councillors, because that information we should be having, but in respect of all the councils that are being established, what are the challenges that they are experiencing, and what is it that the province is doing. So the responsibility, we are communicating with provinces, we are not communicating directly with the municipalities themselves. Honorable Petwa, I think I touched on your issue. There is also a code of conduct for councillors, and also the rules are very clear in terms of how many times a council can be, a councillor can be called a councillor if you don't come. If you don't go to three consecutive meetings, then you may be fired. But the challenge in this particular case is that we're dealing with the issue of establishment process. Now, if a councillor doesn't go, and the following meeting, remember now we have said that the first meeting that will deal with the issue of councillors, who is just guiding council establishment in terms of the executive. Then we were saying within 2 or 3 weeks they should also sit and look at consideration of other matters like your budget, your IDP, just to confirm what the previous council would have taken a decision on. So those are the responses that I can give when I go to
Chair. Yeah, that's one of your colleagues want to add anything.
I thought in relation to the categorization of municipalities as an affecting the demolition, it's a question way of dealing with the remuneration of senior municipal mayors, how they're dealing with the issue of making municipalities.
Okay. Now I'll wait for the question. Any other comments from the department? No? Okay. Milam and Ted.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just say I'd like to come back to Georgini Nkandule, because as Honourable Mthethwa has indicated, there is a deliberate sabotaging of the establishment of the council there, and it is one particular political party. I'm not going to name any names, but it is one particular political party that is sabotaging the establishment. They sat for the inauguration, the swearing in of the councillors, then called for a caucus during the election of the speaker, and then walk out and haven't returned back to the council for, I think it's three meetings now that they haven't come back to the meeting. My problem is that if we invoke Section 139 of the Constitution, the only credible solution is actually dissolving the council, because it is the council that is dysfunctional, not the administration that is dysfunctional there. It's the council itself that can't parade, can't meet, etc. It is a perfectly hung council. There are 20 councillors from one side and 20 councillors from another. And it is having a critical impact on the establishment of the district municipality as well, in Kanyude district municipality, because they can't establish until the locals establish. And it appears to me that what is happening here is that this particular political party is sabotaging the establishment of the council purely for the purposes of having a Section 139(1)(c) intervention. In other words, the dissolution of council and re-election. And that to me seems like a very undemocratic process. So maybe the way forward is, and this is something I'd welcome Mr. Gini's input on, maybe the way forward is that we have to relook the Structures Act about what happens in a situation where a municipality is unable to complete the establishment process. Because we can't hold two councils, it's more than two councils, because it's obviously that local municipality, it's that district municipality, but it's all the local municipalities that are part of that district as well, are all being held to ransom by 20 councillors for a particular political agenda. So maybe we need to have an amendment to the Structures Act going forward to deal with this. Thank you, Chair.
That's just one little problem. We are saying this political party that can't be mentioned. Let's mention it, because to talk as if there's a big secret somewhere, so on, when the issue in fact is the public, the matter is in the public, it may not be very useful there.
Chairperson, the political party concerns the African National Congress. The 20 councillors of the African National Congress have not attended council meetings since their swearing in. They walked out to caucus and didn't come back during the inaugural meeting.
Okay. Noted, yeah.
Thanks, Chair. I also want to find out, Chair, in the department as to what is their intervention in a situation where the councillor has sat down, met, established itself through their own negotiations, they agreed, and they elected each other. But all of a sudden, the national decision just has come back in to say, well, because you colluded with so and so and so and so, in that municipality, you violated a national decision and the councillors are led to resign. As a result, that municipality right now is going back to the first stage, because members that have voted with other parties in the form of the municipality have now been told to resign. So how are you dealing with such situation? You know, these issues are done by political parties, purposes. In particular areas, I would mention like Itumbe, we are now going to have a serious problem because of the DA and the IFT.
There we are. There you are. We may raise certain questions, honourable members, and we are entitled to do that. But we can't expect the department to answer political problems. The political issues must be dealt with by political parties, but of course the department has its own responsibility in just gathering the information and doing its utmost to ensure that things work. But the political parties must not expect political intervention from the department. That will have to be dealt with elsewhere. In a manner that is appropriate, and keeping us whatever standard decent practices. I guess what was saying on this item, honourable members, is that we will have to get a more complete picture of the situation with regard to establishment of municipalities, and we urge the department to revert back to us as soon as possible and information. In the meantime, we should just note the engagement and discussion that we've had up to now. But we respect the department to let that to us. I want to move to the next item, but I see that there are two hands up, Dow and Miriam.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I just want to add, I don't know which department must give you this issue of the issue of in the King Council, so the structure, and it is in the structure to be changed because it's the one affecting us on the future. I don't know which department must do this matter because it's the one causing the problem in moving forward. We must do this problem of how we electing councillors, how, because this ratio of electing councillors, some other political parties are suffering because of other political parties. We must change the mode and the way we are operating in the electing of the councillors. We must come with other ways because it's shaker. Listen, I think it's the one causing the more problem in the King Councillors. I think that is just a concern on that, Jefferson. Thank you.
That was in the broader issue of the formula.
Jefferson, I'm confident that the ANC once again is proposing amending the electoral system because it's losing councils. They were quite happy to accept it while they were winning council, but now that they're losing, now they want to change the rules. That's smacked with sour grapes, and it's actually quite pathetic. The proportional representation system that we approved is incorporated and made provision for in the Constitution, and we adopted it as legislation. Be that as it may, can I just finish? When I'm finished, then you can answer again. But be that as it may, I did not get a response to my request as to a way forward specifically with Georgine. Because what is going to happen here? We are in a state where a number of municipalities are affected by the failure of one municipality to establish itself. So I'm asking the department, what are they doing to ensure the establishment of that municipality?
Yeah. The debate on the formula, otherwise, now if you don't mind, can it be deferred for another time? Let's have the department respond before the department responds.
Chair, I was expecting your ruling. the question that has been posed right now is exactly what Apostle asked in Edmund. You mentioned that the political issues must be determined. I wonder if it doesn't fall on the question. Otherwise, I'll ask man to be also be responded to. If we continue in that way, because I just keep quiet because you said it was a political question. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Chairperson, it's only was established. There's an ANC mayor, there's an ANC speaker, there's an ANC in it only. It's an established municipality. There would have to be a motion of no confidence, and whichever party comes out on top inside the internal voting of council would then take over that municipality. But that's an established municipality. They went through the process, they did their inauguration, they elected a speaker, they elected a whip, and that process has gone ahead. Whatever political thing has to happen, that happens in council. What happens in Jazee is that they haven't established. In other words, there is no political control of that municipality. Right now, there are councillors that are sworn in, but there's no speaker, there's no mayor, there's no whip. So my question is, who is taking the decisions in that council? And what are we doing to regularize the situation? Because it's impacting on the district. It's not a political thing here. This is a process thing.
No, colleagues, I'm really going to urge you to desist from acknowledging, from failure to acknowledge the political problems. And political problems, as we all know, must be sorted out by political parties. And in the process of doing that, ensure that we abide by the Constitution, that we abide by relevant legislation, and that the municipalities function. But the fact that the getting municipality to function is at the core of addressing people's problems, of addressing matters that have got to do with the improvement of quality of life of people, and failure to do that has other negative consequences. A key amongst which is really to fail to address matters relating to the quality of life that has been created. But the thing is that municipalities are not established for their own sake. They have a purpose to fulfill. And therefore, at a political level, every political party must make contribution towards ensuring that these issues are sorted out. At an administrative management level, the department must do its bit. So all of us have a responsibility of one kind or another. At the political level, the political responsibility, at the management administrative level, is for the administration, for the executive administrative authority to step in and ensure that things are sorted out. So let's not have definitions of what is that constitute the political and what it is that constitute something else. All of us have a responsibility, but don't expect the administration to sort out political problems and political issues. Okay, let's move to the next slide.
Chair, can you support my objection, please, because I did ask a specific question about the way forward under the team. Can you report my objection, please?
I'm saying that your Zuni problem is a political problem. To be direct. It's not a political problem.
Yeah,
and we need to sort out that problem. Yes.
Thank you, Shepherdson. Thank you, Shepherdson. Shepherdson, I think it was already explained that in terms of the information that is here, there is an incomplete information. I think we should regard whatever questions that we may be having, if we are not maybe pushing for something else other than what is here. Because I think this information will come as it will be coming as it will be completed. So I think we should regard it as that.
Manuel, that's what I was going to speak now. Yes, that's not us. There's one.
I think it is the prerogative of the DA to keep the trigger that the rejection should be noted. That is the party's prerogative.
Honorable Muzi,
it would be unfair for the chair just to dismiss what the DA says in this regard.
Honorable Muzi, I think where do you? And the political party raise an issue, express a view and opinion and so on in these meetings. But let's end on a note that the GA objection is noted. And when I say Mr. Rangin is accepted, they express their view, noted, but as a part of the general standard procedure in meetings. But what was the other issue?
I thought, Chair, your guidance was on the basis of saying let's separate political issues and administrative issues. I think with it was also fair, Chair, that we give the department to only address the admin issues after we have guided us that some of the critical issues that are in terms of them, when I raise that and put it aside. But to answer the administrative matters, I think it would be fair that they do so, Chair, because I've seen a hand in the department wanted to recall on some of those. I thought it's the admin issues.
Let's see if there's any comment that the department won't make good before we move on. We might move on at any time as I think.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to respond on the direct question relating to Josini as to what it means that we are going to do. In my input, I indicated that one of the municipalities that we have been informed that it was not establishing because of the same challenges was Jodin. We advised at the technical level that the ministry must issue a directive before we go to session 13913. And the reason was because for you to go to section 139, whether it's 1391B, the municipality should have failed to deal with its obligation, fulfill its obligation. Now, we were saying the MEC must issue a directive that indicates a particular time period. And if they don't establish within that particular time period, then the MEC must deal with it in what is provided for in the law, which is section 139, which is this resolution. And lastly, Chair, I think the broader issues are what I normally call that we have governance nightmare in coalition, and you have dealt with the aspects around that. We have seen this in our sort. And as the department, we can't do anything about those other matters because the minister said to me that we tried that these are like because we were saying it's marriage is of inconvenience or inconvenience. He said, no, this is not marriage, this is what it said. So I was just saying on the issue of coalitions, we know that we will have governance nightmare for the next 5 years. because we don't control what happens in the parties, but we only deal with the, what the local tribe. I thought there was also a suggestion by Honorable Milliam that perhaps looking at this particular matter in totality, after we've looked at all these things, we may then be proposing an amendment in the Structures Act. You will remember that we were looking at the amendment of the Structures Act. It might be when it comes to the committee, you will then add certain things that have been learned through this particular process. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let's move to the next item. And that item is the question of upper limits and gender remuneration packages. We now have the word department committee.
Thank you, Chair. I have with me here the President of DG Institutional Development, who is also Chief Director responsible for this work. We are really going to go to brief the committee on what we issued as a notice, and broader issues that will focus on is the classification of municipalities according to the different grades, the variables and the factors that are involved in the categorization of the classification, and the principles that we have taken into account. And I think the presentation will also zoom into the consultation with various stakeholders and the input that we have received from various stakeholders. If allowed, Chair, I will hand over to the Mr. Shopping to make that presentation.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Nice having some technical challenges to begin the presentation on the screen. But in the meantime, let me indicate that the purpose of this presentation is to inform the committee about the recent notice that was promulgated by the minister to determine salary packages of senior managers in municipalities. The section 154 of the Constitution empowers local and provincial governments to support municipalities, the national governments and provincial governments by legislative and other measures to support and strengthen the capacity of municipalities. When you look at the specific section 72.2A of the Systems Act, it empowers the minister responsible for local government, and after consultation with the Minister for Public Service and Administration, the Minister of Finance, the MEC is responsible for local government and other national local government to make regulations or issue guidelines relating to the duties, remuneration, benefits, and other terms and conditions requirements of senior managers in municipalities. This particular piece of work has not been done through the advent of democracy. This is the third notice that the minister has promulgated in trying to address the salary disparities in municipalities and also to harmonize the salary packages of our senior managers. Senior managers in this particular instance, it refers to municipal managers and managers directly accountable to municipal managers. In the past, prior to the promulgation of this notice, municipalities were entering into agreements with the senior managers, and salaries way above market-related packages were then paid to municipal managers and managers accountable to that. Because of this particular section, the minister then promulgated regulations. These regulations dealt with the empowering the minister to determine the upper limits of total municipal packages of our senior managers and municipalities after taking into account the following factors: the classification of municipalities according to different grades, the respective duties, powers and functions and responsibilities of municipalities, the availability of different levels of remuneration, and the number of municipal employees and the salary wage below the municipality. Now, in order for the minister to determine charges of cinema. Those are the factors that the minister must consider when the minister determines the total remuneration package of cinema as a municipality. Furthermore, this will also be influenced by the population, the operating budgets and assets of the municipality, the current principles and levels of remuneration in society in general. That is the principle of using similar size, similar group of institutions, that will then determine the remuneration packages of several of municipalities. Meaning that municipalities of a different kind category, the different population, will have to have a salary package of the same, size of in that particular category. In the past, there were some disputes and disparities in relation to that, and the minister stepped in to regulate so that there should be uniformity in determining the purpose of such managers. It also includes the need to the promotion of equality and uniformity of salaries, as I've already indicated, and benefits for equal work performed. It also makes provision for the uniform norms and standards nationally to address disparities of salaries, and also take into account the inflationary increases. This will be done, honorable members, on an annual basis. So this factors on an annual basis will inform the minister when the minister determines how to resolve cinema matters. What happened there as a process, the minister published in the Government Gazette on the 19th of May the draft notice for consultation, wherein various stakeholders were requested to make input and also to make written comments. And the following submissions were received from the Minister of Public Service Administration, the Minister of Finance, the Ministry for Local Government, Organized Local Government, and the FSC, the Financial and Fiscal Commission. We also received and also extended a formal request for comment from what we call ISAMAO, which is the Institute of Municipal Accounting Officers, the Institute for Municipal Finance Officers, and the Institute for Local Government Management. We did this in order for them to give us input that will then guide and assist them in the minister to come at an acceptable determination of salaries for senior managers. However, we then realized that it would be proper that we further engage all the other relevant stakeholders in a sort of a workshop environment, wherein we were to interrogate issues that they raised in their comments. And some of the issues they raised were the fact that they requested the minister to at least publish this gazette, or the notice for senior managers, on or before the 31st of March, when every municipality is to pay. Remember the financial year of municipalities, so it would be proper that we deal with the publication of the notice during that time, and we contract with that particular request. It was also the concern of this is all in relation to the item 10 in the notice that dealt with salary progression, that it would not be ideal to include the issue of the pay progression in the salary legislation, as it was never promulgated in the principal legislation, and we compare this with that particular reason. They also raised issues of the review of item 11 that relates to remote allowance. Honorable members will allow you to remember that in the previous notices, we had what we call a share scale, and we then got an issue raised also by the previous minister in relation to us, including the remote allowance, and in order to allow municipalities not to misuse this particular opportunity of identifying municipalities that are remote, we were then requested to predetermine after using the index that we utilize to determine remoteness in the notice. When we look at the notice, we have predetermined who are these municipalities that are eligible to obtain remote allowance. So it will not be dependent on municipalities to willingly determine which municipalities are remote and so on. There's also a request that we needed to have the information that we require every time in September from municipalities. It will also enable the minister to assist the minister to come to a sound determination of salaries of senior managers. That it will be proper that for credibility purposes of those particular information, the ministry will then have to send off that the information that will be submitted by municipalities to the minister for assisting in the internal service of senior managers. After all this particular exercise, the minister then on the 4th of July gazetted or promulgated this notice. Now, in the notice, the following slides will deal with specifically what is in the notice now. In the notice was a preamble, and the preamble is to deal precisely with the intention and also within the B2B plus of the Department of History and Municipalities to have the senior administration. We needed to emphasize the fact that municipalities is order for them to be able to deliver all these services to communities, they then needed to have resilient administrative organs. In this instance, the notice sought to seek to look at how we are going to beef up municipalities for them to be resilient and concerned workable. There is a component in the notice that deals with the definition, and it's included, as I've already indicated, the remote allowance, it included the remoteness index, it includes the definition that relates to total population, and it included the definition that relates to our family. So when you look at the notice, the separate definitions are content included in the definition part of the portion of the notice. We also, in this notice, looked at what are the determining factors that will assist the Minister of the Cultural Rights to Municipalities for purposes of salaries of senior managers. And we said that we will use three variables included in the notice. One variable was the total municipal income, the second variable was the total population, and the third variable was the total equitable share. These variables are moving us closer to the same variables that are determined, that are being used to determine categorization of our municipalities for purposes of upper municipal councillors. And there's been an outcry and a quest that local government must start to have a unified a system that will assist to determine categories of municipalities. I will not get this system into the process relating to the difference between the variables and the ones alive for staff members that are in the body region. So these are the ones that we have done to be closer to the variables that have been utilized for service for senior managers. Again, in relation to the factors that we use to inform categorization, we then look at these principles that relate to reliability of information, fairness, objectiveness, credibility, consistency, and sustainability. Now, in that, we looked at these three variables that are used in this presentation by the minister. And he said, in order for us to arrive at a proper categorization of these municipalities, we use total municipal income, which will carry 60% of the weight, and we will use total population. Total population is as per report that we receive, and that will carry 30% of the weight, and the total equitable share, 10%. These two variables, honorable members, are the ones that we said are variable because there is two position that is there. There is a political financial statement that will guide the minister to determine the number of municipalities. There is a report from Treasury that will guide the municipalities. The total equitable share will be paid annually to municipalities. That is established level. So all these variables are variables that are level, some hard figures that relate to how they are going to categorize these municipalities. Now, when we determine this categorization of these municipalities, I've already indicated that we use the three variables. We said that we determine the notice determines the municipal size using these three variables that I've already indicated. Now, when you use this formula, you will use the sum of the number of points allocated to a municipality, added together, and when they add together, they will result in the categorization of the particular municipality. Meaning that municipalities will be given points from total population, from total municipal income, and from equitable share. That will then add together will determine the grading of the particular municipality. The grading of municipality will be from 1 to 10. In the last notice, we had the grading from 1 to 8, but this in this convention, we decided to move from 1 to 10, taking into account challenges of smaller municipalities and the issue that I will talk about later, that due to the salary creep between senior managers and those staff members who are in the organization. You recall that the minister will then determine the salaries of senior managers through the annual notice, whereas other staff members will then, the salaries will then be determined at the Banyuli Council on an annual basis. And in some instances, the categorization of a municipality in relation to the international salary will then impact on how much will the staff below be paid? There has been outcome in relation to the determination of salaries of senior managers, as determined by the minister, being less than middle managers who fall under the permanent council. So this categorization in the 10 was specifically meant to address the salary creep between senior managers and all staff members below senior managers. I think I've already indicated that after identifying the number of points that the municipality will obtain to each of the criteria that we use above, the points will then be added together and that particular number will then determine the categorization of municipalities from 1 to 10. I'm going to get the next slide, honorable members, slide 21 and 22. They relate to the categorization of municipalities from 1 to 10. It illustrates the points. So in this particular instance, where a municipality at 1 point, after points between 1 and 26, that particular municipality will fall under category A for dissemination of salaries. It is 27, 47, it is category B. It goes on until up to the best, this is 10. And 10 is where the municipality gathered 99 points, up to 100 points. In this particular instance, then the particular municipality will fall under 10. So these two slides, as indicated there, we explain to you how we allocate points and the variables that we use in determining this salaries. On this particular two slides, let me explain the point. You realize that for a municipality to move from category 1 to category 2, we need at least 21 points for movement in terms of category. But when you look at the highest category, which is number 10, you realize that the municipality will need only 1 point from 99 to 100. Now, in this instance, it is very, very difficult taking into account the variables that we are using for a municipality of this magnitude, of a bigger magnitude of in terms of population, in terms of salary, in terms of income share, to move from 8 to 9 or 9 to 10. So it is not a question of using these variables from searching the points or the formula that you use for municipalities to gradually be categorized. From say 8 to 10. It becomes very important to see when we indicate how municipalities have been categorized. That it is almost higher likely, based on the variables that we use, that municipalities will easily move from one way to the other, or vice versa from a higher to a lower level. The next item, the next slide, honorable members, relates to the difference that you see in terms of how we select social income. For example, if a municipality has less than 12 million, as total income, they will be allocated 1 point. Instances where the municipality, big municipalities, letters and so on, if they have more than 7 million as total municipal income, well, they will get 60 points on total municipal income. So this shows how we are allocating the point in relation to the figures that we use to assist the minister in determining the category of the senior authority. For purposes of total population, where a municipality with a population of 60,000, it will be allocated 1. For pure municipalities where there is 3.5 million, they will be allocated 80. So those are the points that we are challenging to assist honorable members to understand where this is right from for point allocation. For total municipality of share, this amount, 19 million, and 1 million, in relation to the first category of municipality to the last category of municipality. I was saying that these particular tables are just to assist you to understand how we arrived at allocating certain points to municipalities. I have included only on this slide the points relating to category 1 municipality and category 10. But when we look at the actual notice, we have indicated specific points and specific amounts and figures that are there that will assist from the example how we arrive at category 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, up to 9. So I'm just relating to you how we arrive at certain point allocation to assist the minister to determine share prices of senior managers. We also slide 27, looking at instances where municipalities grade will change. We will convince honorable members that on a yearly basis, for example, the equitable share of municipalities won't be the same. The next one will be on an annual basis. The total income of that impulse will not be escaped. Those are the factors that might change the categorization of these bodies from year to year. But in these senses, where after, in the new financial year, on determining the salaries of our senior managers, the categorization of a municipality is lower, then the municipality will use the previous year's higher category. This is to allow uniformity and standardization, so the salaries of senior managers might not fluctuate from time to time, but that will be also in conflict with the remuneration philosophy that is being used internationally. That once you look at credible information and data that you use to categorize municipalities, you might not have to figure on a yearly basis with regard to the fluctuation of categorization of municipalities from year to year. So this was this particular item in the notice was specifically to deal with that the issue of our fluctuation. The next slide is dealing with how we are now determining salaries of senior managers. We start with the, you say in the entry point, in terms of category 1, category 10, there will be an amount attached to that. However, honorable members, as part of us determining the proper salary package of senior management municipalities, the regulations dictate that before the appointment of the senior manager, they will have to do an assessment. They have to be assessed, and an assessment report has to be compiled. Now, the assessment report will determine whether that particular person, in terms of his qualification, expertise, your experience, and competencies, whether the person falls under the minimum package or the midpoint package or the maximum package. Now, upon all factors that have been considered, when the municipality had a discussion with the death population of measure in determining the salaries that are already in the notice, these are the factors that is taken into. The assessment report will then determine, will place that particular individual with this appointed senior manager. Whether in terms of the years of experience, the expertise, the competencies, the person is at a level of minimum, midpoint, or maximum. So that will assist. For now, I must indicate that with the exercise that we have had, and especially in implementation of this current notice, there is no municipal manager who has qualified to be on the maximum point because of the outcome of the assessment. So there is no municipal manager at stage here in the particular stage. It requires an utmost upper competency level that pretty much achieved in order for the person to be under the category of maximum. At the stage, no municipal manager is affected. Second explanation, honorable members, relates to the following slide that deals with determination of salaries of senior managers accountable to the municipal managers. There again, I must indicate that the issue that I said I will raise later on in explaining this slide is in relation to the salary sheet of senior managers and middle managers. In some instances, middle managers, as you are aware, are employed on a full-time or on a permanent basis. And their salaries are determined at the government council. Now, in the past two notices, we realized that because we pitched the salaries at 25% high, the middle managers were even any more than what determines as salaries for senior managers. Now, we then pitched this salaries for full service programs at 50% high, which is acceptable in the federal remuneration philosophy, in order to address the issue of the salary between senior managers and members some below. Because what I said here is that once you have a situation where a senior manager and less than a middle manager, it will create a problem in relation to discipline, it will also create a problem in relation to instruction giving, and this particular issue was done specifically to look into the issue of addressing the salary gap between senior managers and staff below. Also on these two particular slides, honorable members, it's in relation to the on an annual basis, depending as to when this notice will be promulgated by the minister. For purpose of this notice, we included the 6% code of living adjustment that we obtained from the National Treasury to assist the minister to adjust challenge in relation to the cost of living for that particular period. So these are the two key figures that guide municipalities. Once we have categorized these municipalities, as we have done now, that all municipalities of the same size, of the same set of interests, the municipal managers, the senior managers, will add the same. So one of the days when municipalities will then enter into a discussion, enter into agreement with municipalities, and pay them well above for market related service. So that was the intention of this notice. This also relates to after this notice guides municipalities that these are the only criteria is going to be used to determine service of senior managers. Nothing out of here will then be allowed to happen. Once an address and once any contract of employment is being signed between the municipality and the senior manager, there is contrary to this notice, such an appointment will be void ab initio. Meaning that that particular appointment is not in accordance with the existing regulations promulgated by the Minister in 2014, and that appointment is null and void. So all address should be done to this particular appointment. The next slide, Honorable Remas, it relates to the remote allowance. In the past, notice that I've already indicated that we used the issue that municipalities could fund their own rural allowance, use rural allowance, and municipalities in order to be capitalized of senior managers will lose both allowances plus what we have decided here to put up salaries of senior managers. We then decided to put what we call remote allowance and do away with the self-skill allowance and the rural allowance and deal only with remote allowance, where we say we determine the remoteness in as far as we have been given direction from CIR on how we determine all municipalities. And in order to cap abuse of this particular allowance, we predetermine which are those municipalities that are rural. When you look in the notice itself, it will give you an indication of all those municipalities that are being termed to remote, and we indicate the presumption that has to be attached to that allowance if municipalities then qualify as remote. So there is no any chance of abuse. We also allowed the provinces to give inputs into initially the municipality that we identified as being remote. So that remoteness, the remote municipalities have been identified and they've been promulgated in the notice that are already determined. The next slide is using the following information that require from municipalities. And I indicated that in order for us to come to a very clear determination of categorization of municipalities and further determination of senior managers, we needed certain data, reliable data, for that particular year to enable the minister to determine salaries for the coming year. So there are the information that we said we require for municipalities, but we require the NEC to send it off, so that municipalities should not give inaccurate information to the minister with a view to up the category because of the resource information. Now this is what we are negotiating, and the NEC must sign off total approved post, total fake post, total billing post, number of incumbents in terms of senior manager designation, gender, the nature of contract, whether instances of senior managers accountable to municipal managers, whether they are on the contract or not contract basis, and the date of expiry of the contract, the number of packages, and any hours that is being paid to the particular senior manager. So in all this information we said, we needed to have that by 18th of September of each year in order for us to prepare to have a notice by 8th March the following year, so that the parties will have to plan knowing quite well that this is the remuneration package of senior managers for this for the coming financial year. And the transitional arrangement in relation to this honorable members is that you recall that our regulations came into effect on the 1st of July 2014. Now the senior managers, the municipal managers and senior managers who entered into contracts. Remember I mentioned to you that the municipal managers and senior managers who are aiming way above the market related service. So those who signed their contracts prior to the promulgation of the regulations. So in this instance, the contracts are valid until the expiry of those contracts. So this notice and previous notices will apply to senior managers and municipal managers who entered into the contract with the municipalities prior to coming into effect of these regulations that was on the 1st of July 2014. You're all aware that the law has opened retrospectively. So those who have signed and they've had the democratic contracts, they have been valid until the expiry of such contracts. We said that, however, in exceptional circumstances, for example, if you have a remote municipality, that's for under category 1. And if they can show exceptional circumstances to the minister, for example, that we have advertised Christ of Christ, we could not get a single qualified person because no one wants to come to the roster, for example. May the minister please waive that particular requirement in relation to our determining salaries of managers at the particular category. But this will be done under exceptional circumstances after some motivation from the NEC of the particular province that is done the following, not at the CW qualified person, or we have this person, but this person does not want to accept our package because of the circumstances, but only on exceptional circumstances shown to the minister. So discussion will be on the minister to determine whether those are the discussions exceptional circumstances or not. Another one of the last two sides relates to the employment contract that has been established now. I must forthright indicate that this is information that we receive from provinces in relation to the contracts of municipalities. The majority of contracts, as you are aware, come to an end this year and next year. We have also realized that in relation to municipal managers, there are provinces that have indicated to us that certain contracts are coming to an end in 2018. As the law stands, No outgoing council will contract an incoming council for a 12 months. So all these contracts are beyond the 2017. We have requested MECs to intervene and to have corrective measures because any contract that goes beyond 2017 is illegal in terms of the regulations that Mr. promulgated. So you see that there are a few important that contracted. I'm referring specifically to instances to the category leading to municipal managers. In relation to managers accountable to municipal managers, obviously some municipalities have appointed them on a permanent basis, some appointed them on a contract basis, so the appointment in some instances will go beyond the 2017-2018. The department has dedicated units to look into this assurance of senior managers post in local regulations. We are aware that we will have a very, very huge recruitment drive by municipalities to appoint senior managers post the local government elections. And this notice also assists in 2027 because according to the regulations, municipalities are to predetermine salaries. Even in the aspect, they must indicate the amount that is payable to senior managers. It's no more the issue of saying the salaries will be negotiated with senior managers. Very good in the aspect as well. That takes me to the next item. Honorable Lumas, we've got a list of all categorized municipalities. It also indicates, upon the request we submit to honorable members, to indicate in all provinces, all municipalities, the categorization, and we also give a distinction of categorization from the previous year to this year, so that if we have, you know, each and every municipality under which category is called up to so far. Now, the issue that was raised in our policy, there was in relation to what you can have to municipalities affected by demarcation. Now, yes. In relation to that, the municipality, the department for actively issued circular number 5 of 2016 to deal specifically with the following municipalities that are affected, and we have indicated those municipalities that are affected by the demarcation process, affected municipalities, incorporated municipalities, major municipalities, 13 municipalities, and the new municipalities that are to be formed after that. Then we said, when we look at the total population, especially this is the population 2011 that relates to those established municipalities at the time. So they do not have, as of now, stands for example, the new establishment funds. One might not have, whatever the name, but not have the figures from 13% because it is a new establishment fund. So if you are having these three variables, they are not even going to be equitable share, and therefore you cannot use this formula that we have to return the salaries. You will look at also an equitable total income, that they do not have all the financial statements that are established, so they won't be having that. We also look at the equitable share, and we're also aware that the equitable share is dependent on the foreign service. So then we said, on the basis of that, when we look at total municipal income, municipalities, the municipal from municipalities, the incorporated municipalities, and incorporated municipality must utilize the current total municipal income based on the audit financial statements for the 2014-15 financial year. The major municipalities with different rating must utilize the highest total municipal income within one of the major municipalities based on the audited financial statements for 2014-15 financial year. You say a new municipality does not have that municipal income will be allocated the maximum of 833.5 determined in item 2 of the notice. So in relation to the new notice, this new, newly formed, newly established municipality, because there is this item in the notice that deals with municipalities that do not have actual income. Now the municipalities that do not have revenue, they are afforded in terms of population, total municipal income, they are accorded 8.33 points. So in this instance, the new establishment of this system will apply to this. For purpose of total municipal population, the incorporated municipality must analyze the official statistics of the population residing in the area of jurisdiction of the municipalities as determined in terms of item 2 of the notice provided by the statistician for the 2011 stats. That measuring municipalities with different rates must utilize the highest total municipal population of one of the major municipalities as determined in terms of item 3 of the report of the statistician general. So those major municipalities will then use the highest the number of population between the three municipalities to assure them to arrive at the point to be in the municipality. And lastly, a new municipality that does not have the total population determined by the statistician general utilize the observabilities of the population residing in the area of jurisdiction of the municipality as determined by the statistician general. So the statistician general will look at all those works in that area, and on the basis in those works, on the basis of that, will then determine the total number of population of the particular municipality for purposes of determining the total population of the municipality. The same principle applies, as I've already indicated, in us trying to get an understanding of standardizing the variables utilized for determining the value of the municipality for purposes of salaries of senior managers and of appointments for counselors. You call that we are also today counselors, so the variables will also be utilized and the same principle will apply. And for purposes of the total equitable share, we determine the number of points to be allocated for total municipal equitable share. Of an affected municipality must the purposes of categorization of this municipality utilize that established in the Gazette. And we then indicate that Section 86 of the Revenue Disobedience Act will then be utilized to determine the equitable share of the economy. This section will then indicate to the department the kind of equitable share that is to be given to all the affected lodging and municipalities. And we use that information to allocate specific points to those municipalities. That brings me to the end of my presentation, and the DG might set indicates as well. I might indicate that some of the issues. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. There we are. Let's see who wants to speak. And Lillian, and okay, in that order.
Deputy Chair, thanks Chair for giving me this opportunity. I'm trying to study this formula that it has been used here. If you look at your page 21 slide, slide number 21, let me start with slide 18. When you look at slide 18, the determining factor there will be the municipality income and the population and the equitable share. That is what is going to determine the rate. But if you look, the first one is given 60%. How is this 60% is informed of? That is what is giving me a problem. Because from moving from there, because I don't understand the income. What income? Is it the collection income by the municipality or
revenue
income?
Revenue municipality.
Do they take the factors share that other municipalities, they do have the capacity, but in terms of their collection is getting poor? Is it going to affect them when it comes to that ratio? I want to know that. Then the second one,
Chair. Please note down the questions.
The second one, Chair, is on page 21. On page 21, there's a very huge gap here, Chair, when the criteria that they've used here. If you look at from 1 to 26, you look at the gap of 26 bands in between that you need to compress it together. If you look to the next one, is 20. The third one is 12. The fourth one is 9. When you go upper and upper, you will end up getting the seventh one to be the fifth. In terms of enumeration, which system are you using in the international standard? Maybe that you will find, because to me, this will create the fact that there is too much band in between. And this band, you cannot follow it in a sequential ratio. Because when you move from 26 to 20, 20 to 12, 12 to 9, what criteria is that? It gives me a problem. Because once there is something like that, you will find that there are people that will be earning far more than the others. And you need to come back and close down that gap in a later stage. That's my problem, Chair. If that can be aligned, explained to me, it will assist me even in slide 24. Yeah, let me talk the case to the system that is being used.
Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. I have a couple of questions as well. My first one is...
You're not 10 or 20.
I've asked as many questions as I need to ask. It's my right as a member of Parliament.
Yeah. Please, be
brief. Chairperson, my first question has to do with the term of municipal managers. Now, Section 57... Subsection 6 says that municipal managers must have a fixed term contract that must not exceed 12 months after the date of the local government's elections, which is the 3rd August 2017. On your categorization chart here, you said contract expiring in 2017 and contract expiring in 2018, but doesn't align to the 12 month window period. So my question is, how many contracts expire after the 3rd of August 2017, in other words, how many illegal contracts are we dealing with? My second question has to do with the alignment to other grades. I like what you've done. I think this makes a lot of sense. I think it is a very comprehensive approach. I think all credit is due to the department wanting to approach this in a very systematic and thorough manner. Unfortunately, we've got other grading systems that apply to municipalities as well, and I refer to the remuneration of councillors, for example, which have a fixed category grading system. Now, surely if we're going to apply this to one, we should apply it to another as well. And then, would it not make sense that we start looking at rolling this out to all staff levels? In other words, if I am a senior manager in a category 5 municipality, then my staff must be paid according to a category 5 municipality in the same manner. The upper limits of the staff that are employed by that municipality, which would then address the issue of soap creep of salary fee that you were talking about. So even if we talk about an increase that is determined by the bargaining council, it applies to the category and not across the board. So you say, I am a whatever post-level 12 employee in a category 5 municipality, therefore my upper limit is this, and no matter whether I'm a category 5 in Eastern Cape or in Mpumalanga, I'm going to earn, my upper limit is the same for both of those people. So what I'm getting at is, should we not be looking at rolling this system out across all municipalities, across all staffing and remuneration structures? And if so, when can we expect that to happen? Chair, my only other concern has to do with the last column on that slide there, and that is the excessively high number of vacant municipal manager positions. And I think that's something that needs to be addressed as a matter of urgency. Thank you.
Okay. Then.
Thank you, Chair. I think some of my questions have been covered, but what I want to ask, I understand that most municipalities, I don't know whether it's in Mpumalanga only, and I believe you will be assessment for tax reading. I understand that you're talking about MM, the managers that are reporting directly to municipal managers. But somewhere, you're also touching the issue of managers, like we've got your finance managers. And in terms of this tax grading, they are also doing the best assessment in terms of their tax reduction, so that when they are being assessed, their salaries will be like increased as what they are submitting in terms of their changes. So my question was, when you were doing this, were you also mindful of this as this tax grading?
Let's take it into account. Okay, let's move to the next question. Mudal.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to check if there are other way that if they are staying in the rural areas where the state moves ahead of the federal government, my qualification is unsafe equal to the federal newspapers in power. And I'm aiming the federal administration to cause the federal administration to come back to my position at the same time. We have going to end there. According to the international economic call. I thought it would be say that, I'm wrong, the parliament was looking at me that there was also look the qualifications. That if I'm the manager in the rural municipalities and I'm qualified to end like somebody is working in town, I must earn the same amount as somebody should be taught. No matter how the rather municipalities or rather this one. The second one is the issue of the second issue is the issue of remuneration of the councillors. I'm not there because if we check the remuneration of the scarce skills, you find that some of municipalities we have set up some municipalities the people who move from rural areas and work to the towns because they know that we're in rural areas they earn less in towns and when the people with the income are there they earn more. How can the government department can assist on that matter because we must earn equally because we're working equally. No matter how I'm rural municipality and I'm not in the thank you,
Chief.
That was the
comment. That the Systems Act makes the provision for the municipal manager's contract to be extended needs 10. That is for it to overlap into the next period. Is there any other provision? The second one is that quite often we hear of managers sort of newly appointed managers being paid once off additional to what is stated in his contract. Is it the specific act allows this? Thank you.
There we are.
And if not, I would like you people to notice this and pursue the municipality investment.
Say that TGS for me. Okay. Thank you very much. Responses?
Thank you, Jefferson. I will only take two, and the expert will take the rest. All the difficult ones Honourable Research Forward, what informed the 60% in the waiting? We have 50% for municipal income and 30% for the population and 10% for the city project. Now, the reason for that particular waiting is that the municipal income is showing the effort by the municipal, both by the councillors and the administration, in collecting revenue, your municipal property rates, and all those kind of things, and you have fees and charges, all those kind of things. We are saying the totality of that is the effort of you as the municipality. So you are motivating the municipality to say, go and collect, because it will be having the highest rate in terms of your remuneration. Now, if you look at the equitable share, in the equitable share, there's no effort, because the traditional rate of revenue, you know that in the draw is already defined. So we then decided that the percentage would be higher. I think it will get deeper, because it's indicated in the notice, all those kind of variables that needed to be looked at. But I think the key word is the kind of effort that the people need to put in collective revenue. Honorable Dao, on the issue of remoteness, remoteness is not necessarily part and parcel of the formula. It's just to determine the allowance that we need to give to a person who is agreeing to go and work in Hunter, for instance. Now, when we wanted to make it scientific, the CSIR looked at the methodology, and that methodology has three aspects on it. It has nothing to do with whether you are qualified or not qualified, because the qualification aspects have already been determined. Your qualification will determine, and your expertise will determine whether you are entering at the minimum level, or whether you are entering at the midpoint, or whether you are entering at the maximum point. Now, the methodology that the CSIR was using was the classification of the South African settlement, one. The measuring the geographic access, the travel time to the nearest settlement. And the three, you then calculate the remoteness index. Now, that is on top of already what you are getting, irrespective of whether you are in a rural area or not. If you are in a rural municipality, but it's graded 4, you will be getting that amount based on your expertise and the qualification. But then you will find that we have predetermined this municipality in terms of the remoteness index and say, if you are in this municipality, the 4% allowance that is allowed for the municipality to give you on top of all this other thing. If you are in this municipality, 7%, and if you are in this other municipality, 7%. So if you look at the document that we were referring to, it indicates we have predetermined those municipalities, because we didn't want municipalities to just do it on their own. So it will be 4%, 7%, and 10%. That is how we are dealing with the issue of the remoteness as an allowance factor. The difficult one.
Yes.
Sir, thanks for the question. Not indicating that I'm not a relations specialist, but this is part of the work that I'm doing, and I'm trying to assist as much as I can. Just in addition to what the McKinsey gave in relation to the total municipal income, I think it is to remember that we need, especially the internationally accepted remuneration philosophy, that determines the salaries of senior managers or executive managers of a similar kind of institution. Is that we need to get credible data that we use. That is why I say, when we describe or when we define what is total municipal income,
I'm just adding information to what you said. It says the municipal total income means gross income in respect of the metropolitan, local or district municipality based on actual income as stated in the audited financial statements of the municipality for the financial years 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, age adjusted. So you age adjust, because that, that will give the federal information for you to utilize. And once you have that, you age adjust, but then it further indicates what is gross income for the municipality. Rates on property, fiscal services, surcharges, other authorized taxes, land and duties, income, and it says specifically the gross income excludes the following: transfer or grants for national duties of fiscal provinces and all VAT. So whatever VAT that you are claiming, whatever you want from, you don't form part of your revenue, is that what you need, the gross revenue that the municipal manager has part of his responsibility. It's a really enhancement, must be innovative. So we cannot be giving anyone, you know, who does not bring it. So this is how we determine the total municipal income. We have also made copies of the copy of the notice that I think the members will have to look at that, so that it's clearly what should be there. On that aspect, in relation to the bank, I have indicated that in some instances where there are small municipalities, it is easier when you look at the points that are allocated to two municipalities for them to have a movement from one to the other, from category 1 to category 5, 6, and so on. But because of the huge amount needed to, for example, to talk about the remuneration, there are only, I think, 5 municipalities that come in that are at that level 10, for example. So for them to move there, for example, Udleni, it took them 3 years for them to move there in terms of the achieving the end that may make them to move, or things that may make them to move to another level. So not all municipalities will move to that other level. Taking into account the huge amount, it got billions of government over total income. So in relation to this smaller municipality, it is not a question of billions for them to be moving to another level. So when you look at the variables used, it does not. Only a instance, metros are the ones who are at that particular level, and not all metros. Now metros do not qualify to that level because of these variable disparities. So we try by all means to do that so that when we look at the subject that I've already indicated, that it does not give municipalities to fluctuate on a yearly basis from one year to another. So the band might look a little bit huge at the lower level and very narrow at the high level. For me, especially at the high level, 8, 9, 10, to move from one year to the other, you need a massive point injection for them to move to a higher level. That is why the bands are like that. The remuneration philosophy is one. It's internationally recognized, the same as when you have an accounting vision. That say what is possible to assess matters of liability. So in the philosophy, the same thing applies. So the same philosophy applies here. It is being challenged by big companies, by private sector, and by companies in Europe, so. What we did as a municipality, we also sought expert support from the city of Cape Town and the city of Gauteng, who also gave us remuneration specialists, city of Joburg, to give us a special process like this. We also requested, we did not contact PwC, we also requested PwC to share with us the latest language in relation to how to implement the philosophy when it comes to similar size institutions. So remember, these are not only based for municipality, but they are based for even the private sector. The remuneration philosophy is meant for all similar size, similar circumstances, and similar situations of any institution. So the same philosophies are like in other sections. So this is why we say, when you look at those salaries in the past, they were not market related based. They were just way above that. So when you look at this, this is why most people are saying, no, but you can't be suggesting that for an employer there will be any 890,000 Ghana. But we say that internationally, the institution of a similar circumstance, of a similar type, of a similar type, this is how we encourage a contribution to do with that. The issue in relation to the contract, we do agree, and that's what the law is. This is the end of term of the city council, and there are 12 months. So anything under that is illegal. There is no justice in that. That also encompasses the issue of the Honorable Minister Kanemba here. But you might not, during the midterm of the council say, oh, those were less than two, we will renew honor for 5 years. And let's have an exceed to the so that is not the issue. And we have requested anything upon the thing, the distribution commission in relation to contract running at that level, anything. Identify those municipalities, we have them already. Give us an assurance by late yesterday that you give us information on what corrective measure are you going to take to see to get all these contracts here to the law. So then the process, we will also be looking at election planning, because there is no way that we can ever have some presence given to anybody, because anything contrary to the notice is illegal by law. So whatever payment that has been made to the municipal manager can arrange them late to them, and you do not understand how they arrive at one sort of payment to the municipal manager. It is contrary to the law, and we will follow that. Make a noting of the details. The issue relating to the heading that we are using, different headings for municipal councils and for other staff members in municipalities. We had a discussion around this. That is why we are trying always to make a situation where we have one set of variables that will assist us to determine. We're getting closer in relation to the truth. That is of councillors and of senior managers. That we use the same number of categories. Now we have 10 and they have 6. So we are working on that. We have given the FSC, which is also a strategic partner in this particular piece of work, for them to work out the methodology that they are going to use to come to one formula. They have the legal expertise in the FSC, and they've given them assurance that they will be coming to us very soon. What might be challenging is an ideal situation that in the budgeting country, they might also be using almost the same variables and same number of categories they use. Because everybody in the council, when we get there, they've got different methodologies they use, different categories, and they arrive at different Now, there is a very serious difference between ourselves in relation to determining of service at higher level and in the bargaining council. So you mentioned in the report that under no circumstances, under no chance, will we try to venture into the space where it's for the matter. He said that we are not trying to determine to you how you negotiate for salaries of those servants. But we are saying there's an issue with the salary people, and another issue, there's an issue in relation to us, let's agree on the principle that will reform all of us when we do the grade, when we do one set of grade. So we are in discussions with them, and I must indicate to now that it doesn't look rosy for now, because of the attitude that organized labor has maintained in relation to the minister. You are, in fact, not being allowed to determine salaries of senior managers. So don't even come and try to influence how we categorize municipality service levels. So there's a huge difference that we have with them, that we are trying to manage that we narrow the difference that we have with certain. But ideally, it will be a very good scenario where we have the same principle that challenge the authorities of municipalities for all staff members, including councillors. So that's what we also are opening up. Two ministers, previous minister and this minister, have also given us instructions to pursue that particular line so that we are aware there. The vacant rooms. We are aware. Like I said, that in my ministry is tasked with assisting municipalities to deal with the high vacant rate in municipalities. We knew that in some municipalities, in some provinces, any situation to a municipality that you are not going to make an appointment, put anything to a central until other municipalities. And we are aware that also most contracts are coming to end 2016, 2017. We have therefore devised a mechanism to support municipalities, especially on hands-on support basis for them to fill these vacancies. We have even developed the turnaround time from 90 days to 60 days, in which the municipality will then have to be preparing the recruitment of the senior staff members. We are working on that, and we are working with municipalities. Each municipality will be given a package that the municipality will have to adopt from the state, the state when they afford, when they advertise up to the state when they afford it. So there will be an effort support by a national curriculum department to assist the cities in the different parts. So in job grading, we are aware of that. What we have done, and still the committees are aware of that, that we have developed draft regulations for all staff members in relation to the job description and competency for all staff below. We are now in the process of the medical coordination law that we are going to put a public comment on those further results. All staff members, be it Gauteng, be it Mr. Tuzi, they will have one set of competency levels and requirements for supervisors in the so all them will be the same. So this issue of translating all the salaries are going to be addressed by our development of regulations of staff below, which is at a very advanced stage. I think in relation to rural areas, the biggest indicator that we use the rural the remote index to determine municipalities in terms of their remoteness and what should be given to them. But again, I think that municipalities will still be having the opportunity to approach the minister on exceptional circumstances shown when there is the risk and for deviation. This particular clause should not be allowed to be abused by municipalities. That is why we said even before the minister was into this, the MEC must then kind of support the municipalities that we have looked at all this accountability, we have looked at all these other issues, and on the basis of that, we are recommending the minister please consider this. And the minister will need to be considered to see whether this rural or remote municipalities may deviate. Say, for example, if the municipality is over 1 and there are 81%, then they would have to show. You recall that this is from what we have, also in the system sect. The system sect, we also have a waiver where municipalities may approach the minister and say that we have set these norms and standards in relation to qualifications of senior managers. But in this instance, we are unable to assert. May we please appoint someone that doesn't have 5 years, we have experience, we need 3 years or so on and so on. So this is also in relation to that part of spirit. But this should not be that problem. I must indicate to the House here now that in relation to other factors and also this matter, we have received requests for waivers for the minister. And on four occasions, we have advised the minister not to give the waiver because the minister will not take efforts to appoint them qualified person. You can't advertise once, and you have to all this other people at this. The regulation says you must re-advertise if you don't get the same qualified person. And once you have re-advertised again from the pool that you have, you have people then again. So we have on four occasions advised the minister not to grant the waiver. I'm not saying that we will turn down the waiver, but we are saying that on exceptional circumstances issue for the minister then grant the waiver. Thanks.
Okay. Well, can find out if that's the last one.
Yes.
Yeah. Take one, then below.
Yeah, I did not get correctly the issue of those that have been appointed illegally, so that's what that question has been used. Because we know some of the managers that have been appointed even during the election period, the municipalities that were appointed. What are you going to do with those? In particular, because people are sitting with their contract now. Are you going to assist those municipalities that will want to be bought off, or what is the system that is going to be used?
Okay. You know?
Thank you, Chair. My question is very simple. What is the current status of the grading process? How many municipalities still have to be graded? Are they all graded? Have they been communicated with? What is the current status?
Yes.
I think remember that we have graded all these branches. And we have looked at the newly established municipalities and set the newly established affected municipalities and measures. That is the principle that is going to be utilized for you to determine the grading. So for grading, we will list that we can do available to you in our office here of all the municipalities in all provinces, all of them by name. But the new municipality are big one of our. So we have that, we can do available to you. The second issue, Section 54 end of the process itself. That deals with the process to finalize appointment of municipal managers. It is very clear. Any appointment made without the final word from the MEC and the minister, that particular appointment is incomplete. In all municipalities are questioned by law that a municipality, after interviews and after having identified the person to be a politician, as a senior municipal minister, must within 14 days submit the report with the necessary documentation to the MEC. The MEC will then, after 14 days, will have to submit that report with his or her findings to the minister. The minister will then make a determination that whether the process leading to the appointment is present or not. So any other thing done contrary to that particular process is going to be an issue. So those municipal managers who have been appointed, all of them in the country, they give reports to the MEC, they give the reports to the department. We are at the level are looking at all the documentation and the process, the qualifications and whatever, and the contracts. And in the event that we find that these people are not to be qualified, we inform the minister, the minister of finance, the MEC, say, go and take qualification actions. They say, that's why in the budget money, that's in software, you that's in Tibetan, we have taken corrective measures. In instances where municipalities do not want to adhere to the advice given by the agent, the minister, the law says, you must approach the court, but there's no order to declare that appointment null and void. We have done this. We have gone to court and several municipalities when we said to them that this appointment is not done according to the law. And when they have refused, they have gone to court. We can get them that issues relating to that and other promises also. So we are having also aging in court that is strictly with monitoring the process of appointment of senior managers. So this will come to us and we will do that.
Yeah, Chairperson, perhaps on the last point of monitoring, it seems that is referring to even monitor on the hardware, whether they conform to the regulations that were issued. I indicated the last time here that we had to stop the address for the Minister of Manager of Farming because of those address were not necessarily confirming what we have prescribed. You would also have realized that in the last weekend there was an address in the city of Cape Town. We're looking at that as well, because in the advert you need to indicate even the salary, the entry salary, and then you are able to determine whether you are within what you are supposed to be within, and then communicate those and indicate to you that you need to store that. So that is the purpose of our monitoring team, because they monitor from the address. If we don't get anything from that particular province, and we know that the advert had happened some time ago, we're able to make a follow-up to the MEC office to say, look, we have seen this particular advert going out, and it has this particular anomaly. Or if it was not having any particular anomaly, to look at the time frame that had already elapsed and say, what is it that is coming? Are we having an appointment that is conforming with the laws and the regulations?
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much. I guess that's really the end of the this part of the meeting. But just to emphasize 2 points before we close the meeting. Firstly, we do indeed require information on the establishment of the municipalities, and that the sort of information is gathered and put together, it should be shared in the portfolio committee. The second point is really on the academics and remuneration. But in this regard, I think in an ongoing way, we need to continue to engage everything from the department, and in the challenges and difficulties that are being experienced, that is the outline properly, so that we're in the same page, on the same page. Because we are very keen on the question of implementation, just make sure that things are happening. But on challenges, very, very useful to say all the time, these are challenges of the experience, this is what is being done, in some ongoing sort of way.
Now, what they were going to do with the chef, they are waiting just for time. As soon as they put up enough streets, they will come back with their vote of confidence. Because they knew that the Labang never moved, but they will come back.
But this Dumbe will be difficult because anyway, it's 8
ANC
eight,
DA5, IP.
No. So even if you say it's going to be a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying this is difficult to voted with us.
The three of you,
yeah.
Okay.
So what they've done now, they've dismissed the three IFP. And they put in Babanya Babo voter against us.
Oh, okay. If anyone sitting sometime in the near future, when possible to help us.
Because I think it's
I like this map. We set up in my pen.
It's a situation we must have to see. Okay. Another situation is 2020.
It's 2020.
ANC 19, IFP 18,
DF1, DA1,
independent one.
Yes.
So I think
that independent is voted the ANC.
And that's voted together is 2020.
2020. But the last 5 years, we banned it. We banned it that they don't go to these meetings. But we need a political guidance. But ngobabaga at the end ngobabazona. But the reality, ukuthi nala it's a
50-50.
It challenges.
It challenges. Who convinces?
It's not outside of the country.